How many times has God told me to shut up or to stop criticizing people or stop being negative? Why? Because He wants me to minister to people. He wants me to hear God. He wants me to work with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can't work with me while I'm being negative.
Welcome from sunny South Africa. The following message is from Hillsong Church, South Africa. We pray that this message will truly bless and encourage you.
Well, wherever you are, I'm hoping that this word is going to help you. Now, I've done something a little different this morning. I'm speaking a different message in every meeting, and these first three are connected. We've just heard the most profound story about Gary in Somerset West. When someone like Gary comes to church and sees the welcome home sign, the first thing he should and did encounter is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was loved and cared for, and may I commend you as a church because you demonstrated what Jesus is like. That's what I talked about in the first service. The second thing that Gary will encounter, if he hasn't already, is that God is a good God, that He is a Father, and that Gary is a son, and he is an inheriting son and has access in Christ to everything that God is and has. And then the third thing, once we've grasped that, we learn that we've got a destiny, we've got ministry, we've got something to offer, something to contribute, something with which to add value. And in order to do that, we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So we need to encounter God in all His persons, Jesus the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So in the first two services, I looked at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next service, I looked at the love of God. In this service, we're going to look at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? This is perhaps the most difficult one to talk about, because of course, most of us know what a father is or looks like. We relate to Jesus because He was human, but the Holy Spirit can't be seen. So how do we engage with Him? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Is that okay? So we're going to pray, because we all need help to listen to God's word, not just to deliver it. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to speak to us in these few minutes. Father God, thank You very much for Your great grace in our life, that we were included. We were broken and damaged and marginalized, but You included us in Jesus. And then You revealed Your love to us, and we became Your children, Your sons, inheritors and heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. Father, we pray that in this service You'll give us an insight into how we can minister with You, for You, make a difference in our world. I pray that all of us will go out of here with a new sense of purpose and destiny. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I am not good at dancing. Despite enforced dance lessons when I was a child, and despite the heady experience of winning a dance competition, I know, in the 60s, my dancing has gone progressively downhill. I was thinking of this recently, and I came up with three reasons why I can't dance. Number one, I'm independent. Dance requires a partner, and I don't like working with other people. Number two, I don't have the necessary rhythm. Dance requires a rhythm, an ease, and certain parts of my body don't seem to be connected to other parts when I am attempting to dance. And the third reason is that when I'm taught to dance, people tell me the steps, and I just can't remember the next step. Anybody share my inability to dance? Anyone face the same dilemma? Well, I know it was a long time ago when I was taught dance, but for one reason or another, in theory at least, I can remember one dance step. No, I said in theory. It was the quick step. The quick step. And it must have been drummed into me because they basically taught me slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Everybody say slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. If you want a title to the message, that's the title. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Because it struck me as I was thinking about this that that describes our relationship with God. Think of the children of Israel for a minute. They were in the desert, and God appeared to them in the day as a pillar of cloud and at night as a pillar of fire, and said to them, when I move, you move. But he never told them how long they were going to stay. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 22. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it is lifted, they would set out. They had to work with God. Thankfully, he was visible, and as soon as he started walking, they started walking. But they didn't know whether it was going to be a year of camping or a night of camping. I think that describes our relationship with God. In the New Testament, James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We're going to unpack that test, and we're going to have a look at the quick step. We're going to have a look at the 5 necessary steps of working with the Holy Spirit. But I need you to understand that God has called you into partnership. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 says, now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship is the word koinonia in the original Greek. It means sharing in common with. He is our partner. He is our companion. He is our friend, our counselor, our promised comforter. Now listen, God always moves at the right pace. But most of us think he's way too slow. We want him to answer our prayers, and he just doesn't for a couple of weeks or a decade. Who thinks that God is too slow? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's not slow at all. But then sometimes he seems too quick. He suddenly wants to do stuff, and we want to just chill. Don't move so quick. That's what he was like at the resurrection. Matthew 28 and verse 7. He said, the angel said to the ladies at the tomb, go quickly, go quickly. Tell the disciples, he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, ran to tell his disciples. I haven't run for years. And I don't like it when God tells me to hurry up. You know, when it comes to God, he's always going at the wrong pace for me. For instance, when I became a Christian, I thought, well, I'll just quickly pray for all of my family members, and they'll get saved within the next couple of days, and that'll be the end of it. Well, 44 years later, I'm still praying for my brother, and I'm saying to God, for goodness sake, hurry up. And then other times, he seems really, really way too urgent. Sometimes, I know you're all godly, Somerset West, I know, Mitchell's Plain, you all love Jesus and always want to come to church, but occasionally I don't. And one night, I was just sitting at home, church was on, the time was going, and I just thought, I don't want to go to church tonight. And then the Holy Spirit in me said, go now. It's like, oh, okay. And I leapt up, put my jacket on, said to my wife, I've got to go. Why? I don't know. The Holy Spirit's in a hurry tonight. Drove as quickly as I could to church and literally ran into the service, which was just starting. I was out of breath. Ran up, saw someone at a bookstall at the back, ran up to them and said, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And she said, yes. So I said, okay, I led her to Jesus. God had an appointment and he wanted me to hurry up. See, some of us are slow people. And we find God too quick. Some of us are quick people, and we find God too slow. If our senior pastor, our global senior pastor, Brian Houston, was here preaching, and I was sitting on the front row, I guarantee at some point during the sermon, he would be rude to me, especially about my driving. I'm not speaking out of turn, he always is. He says, Robert can't drive at all. He drives way too slowly. He said, I could get to church quicker even if I was driving backwards. Well, I'm going to take the opportunity of his absence to tell you that I think he drives too quickly. So, there you go. He said he's quick. He loves spontaneity. But he says his great weakness is patience. I, on the other hand, was brought up on a farm. Patience is my strength. I'm very happy to sit at a gate and watch grass grow. Just don't be spontaneous. So the two of us, he's quick, finding slow difficult. I'm slow, trying to find quick different difficult. But God is both. Sometimes he's in a hurry, sometimes he's not. And we've got to learn to dance. Are you getting the idea? So I call it a dance because we have got to learn to dance with an unseen partner. Think about this for a minute. When the children of Israel were in the desert, God was there in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. If they wanted to see him, they just opened their tent flap. There he was. But as they crossed the River Jordan with Joshua, suddenly God disappears. Joshua had to learn to dance with an unseen partner. Now, God was still there. He was just not visible. It was exactly the same with the New Testament. When the disciples followed Jesus, if they wanted a prayer answered, there was Jesus. If they needed tax money, there was Jesus. If they wanted help, he was there. And then suddenly he goes and joins his Father in heaven and ascends into heaven, says, see you guys. But he says, don't worry. He said, if I didn't go, I wouldn't be able to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be your companion. He's going to be in you. He's going to be with you. You've got to learn to dance. The whole trouble is they're looking up to heaven, and two angels says, stop looking up. Start getting a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then they've got to, wait a minute. Oh, slow. It seems easy, but even the disciples found it difficult. Suddenly, God was gone, and God was with them, but unseen. And if you think that it was easy, check this out. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Paul the apostle is learning, one of the greatest evangelists and apostles, he's learning to work with the Holy Spirit. Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, listen, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, listen to this, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Can you see, Paul and Barnabas are not quite sure what's going on. God had said, go into Asia Minor, preach to the Gentiles. So they set off confidently. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that. Oh, what do we do then? Just follow me. Well, how do we do that? Slow, slow. Wait a minute. Quick, slow. They had to work with the Holy Spirit. Now, this passage that I've just read teaches us three principles about working with the Holy Spirit that relate to the three reasons I can't dance: independence, lack of rhythm, and not knowing the steps. So let's have a look at these three principles, then I'll tell you a few steps. Is this making sense to anybody? Are you listening in Google Air too? Thank you. You're way more enthusiastic than this lot. All right, so number one, Paul learned to depend on his new partner. Dance requires one leader. When you are learning to dance, you're going to have to submit to the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you, and you're going to have to depend on him and trust him. Think about Peter for a moment. Peter was told by God to go to the house of Cornelius and preach to him. But Cornelius is a Gentile. Cornelius was a Roman. No Jew, least of all Peter, wants to go to a Gentile's house and preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit said, please go. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Here's Peter preaching a great message, and suddenly the Holy Spirit does what he wants and fills them all with the Holy Spirit, people that Peter wouldn't have blessed. Have you ever thought that the Holy Spirit is just trying desperately to gain ascendance in your life? And every now and again, he just says, get out of the way. In the 70s, 1979, I was preaching a cracking message in Wales. But apparently, the Holy Spirit didn't think it was a cracking message. So suddenly, in the middle of my message, just like Peter, every single member of the front row, youth meeting, jumped to their feet, stood on their chairs, raised their hands, and were instantly and miraculously filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues so loudly I had to abandon the meeting. Here I was having a great meeting, and the Holy Spirit just wrecked it. Just started doing stuff that he wants to do. 2 hours later, we were having dinner. Not one of these people could speak in English. For hours, looking at the front row, I wish it had happened today. But the fact is God was teaching me dependence. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to change people. And it's not about you. You're going to have to learn to trust me. That's the first thing. The second thing, Paul learned the rhythm of the Spirit. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit, he had to learn the rhythm. There was an ease to this. Acts chapter 13, Barnabas discovered this. Listen to this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, sent them off. The two of them, listen to this, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When you learn to work with the Holy Spirit, there is a rhythm to it. There is an ease to it. It's what the Message Bible calls the unforced rhythm of grace. You just learn, wait a minute, slow. You find yourself doing what you're meant to do and ending up at exactly the right time talking to the right people. But we're trying to make things happen. Abraham got fed up with waiting. God was too slow to answer his promise of giving him a son. So he goes and sleeps with his servant and has Ishmael and causes all manner of havoc because he didn't trust God. There is a rhythm to it. Are you with me? When I first became a Christian, I thought, I need my family in New Zealand to get saved. So I picked the most vulnerable member of the family. and worked on them. I thought, well, if I get them saved, they'll little by little, people will get saved. But he didn't get saved. He didn't get influenced. It didn't work at all. I thought, what's with that? And then I gave up because God was too slow. And then years later, my unchurched uncle rang up and just said, I've got an idea. He said, I want to celebrate my 50th wedding anniversary. So what I've done is I've hired a church. He doesn't go to church. I've hired a church, and we can have a service thanking God for 50 years of marriage. And I've invited all the family, all the relatives, all the cousins, all my friends, and I want you to fly over from Australia and preach to them all. It's like, what? I couldn't have thought of that if I tried. Are you with me? When I tried, it all stuffed up, but when I just got into the dance, there was an ease to it. Some of you are fighting the Holy Spirit and saying, I'm not going to learn to dance. Just slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Next principle, still with me. Paul learned to take the next step. When you are dancing, have you ever done this? You're learning to dance and you're looking at your feet and your partner says, stop looking at your feet, start looking at me. But then I won't know what the next step is. Just trust me. Think about that passage we read in Acts chapter 16. God didn't tell Paul what was going to happen. He just said, come over to Macedonia. You can imagine Paul saying, not unless you tell me what's going to happen. He said, no, just do what you're told. So he goes to Macedonia. He meets Lydia in Philippi. He plants a church. Lydia supports his ministry. Lydia is a businesswoman, supports his ministry. He heads off to Thessalonica. Thessalonica becomes a model church in the whole of Asia Minor. We're still following their principles today. He didn't tell Paul that God was going to open up an entire continent. He just said, come to Macedonia. God never tells us what's going to happen in 20 years' time. Some of you are saying, God, could you tell me what's going to happen in 20 years' time? I can tell you what God's going to say. No. Because he just wants you to take the next step. He wants you to trust him. Look at this. Philip had to learn this. Acts 8:26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He didn't give him any details. He just said, go south. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. He didn't tell him that when he got to the Ethiopian eunuch, God the Spirit would tell him to stand by the chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch would say, could you explain Isaiah? And he would explain Isaiah. And then he would get saved. And then he would be baptized. And then the Philip would be taken by the Spirit to Azotus to preach. But the Ethiopian eunuch would go back to Ethiopia and plant the first church in Africa. And that's why you're sitting here today and I'm preaching. But he didn't tell him any of that. He just said, go to the desert. And the problem with us is that we keep saying, why? Give me details. I don't like that person. A number of years ago, I had a word of knowledge about someone in a meeting, and I just had a word of knowledge. I said, someone's here has got a big pain, I described it exactly. I mean, like, starts here, goes down here. I mean, it couldn't have been more specific. Who is it? No one. So I'm looking an idiot now, so I do it again. Look, I stop my message. Pain, here to here. Who is it? No one. Third time, I do it. Please. Just respond. Nothing. So I finish the service, and as I'm leaving, three people come up to me. They say, I've got that pain. Three people. Exactly. I say, well, why didn't you come? You made me look like a fool. And imagine, if you'd come and you were healed, what would everybody have thought? I wanted to walk out, and the Holy Spirit said to me, pray for them. I thought, no. I'm not going to pray for them. They might get healed. It's not about me looking a fool. I prayed for them. All of them got instantly healed, like typical God. Because he's just trying to get me to work with him. That's the principles. Can you see that? Trust your new partner. Get into the rhythm of the Spirit. Just learn to take the next step. All right, now, back to that scripture in James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Great scripture. Everybody say with me, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Five steps. You ready? 5 minutes, five steps. Number one, slow to speak. Slow to speak. I can guarantee that the greatest barrier to your relationship to the Holy Spirit is your mouth. James chapter 1, verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. How many times has God told me to shut up? Or to stop criticizing people, or stop being negative. Why? Because he wants me to minister to people. He wants me to hear God. He wants me to work with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can't work with me while I'm being negative. Slow to speak. Number two, slow to anger. It says slow to become angry. Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. The word foothold means, in the original Greek, is topos. It means an inhabited place. It's the word from which we get the word topography. When you are angry, the devil has a place in your life. It's like you're going along in the car and some idiot cuts in on you and you give them a universal sign of displeasure. You might as well open the door of your car and invite the devil in, and open the other door on the other side and let the Holy Spirit out. Because the Holy Spirit works with you when you are sensitive to him. And while you're screaming at that prawn who's just cut you off, he can't work with you. And don't think you don't do it. I know you do it. I've been in the car. Number three, quick to listen. Everybody should be quick to listen. How many of us are distracted? Like Martha in Luke 10:41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but fewer things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So many of us, we're distracted by serving Jesus. You're playing the keyboard. Brilliantly, I may say, but not listening to the Holy Spirit. Or shaking hands on the door, welcoming people, instead of thinking, what are you doing, Father? Mary was just sitting down there saying, what's going on? Martha, sorry, serving Jesus. A few years ago, we were at a conference, one of ours. I was serving and not listening to the Holy Spirit. And my wife, who's the spiritual, godly member of the family, said to me, do you see that guy over there, our friend? He's got a limp. I said, so? Like, I'm busy. But my wife, being the sensitive soul, walked up and said, what's wrong with your leg? And he said, oh, I think I just pulled a muscle. And she said, no, there's something wrong. He said, no, it'll be fine. No, you need a doctor. No, I don't need a doctor. So my wife went and got a doctor and brought the doctor back and said, check this man out. Well, the doctor checked him out. He had deep vein thrombosis. He had just arrived on a plane. He was just about to get on another plane across the world. My wife and the Holy Spirit between them saved their life. I was serving Jesus at a conference. Are you getting the idea? Slow to speak, slow to anger. Hey, team, did you listen to the Holy Spirit? Or are you just doing this? If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to me. Please get off the stage. We do it. So, I mean, look, you couldn't have scripted that better. They've been told, come up, 2 minutes, it's gone over time. What if the Holy Spirit's doing something different today? Now, if I'm wrong, fire me. Never invite me back, that's all right. But can I just suggest, we've got to learn to listen. Slow to speak. Can I just finish now that I've rebuked your team? Slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to listen. Just wait there. Quick to obey. Do what it says, it says, it says. You know, you think you are building your life on a rock because you came to church and you're listening to a message. That's not what Jesus said. Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine, listen, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Listening to a sermon is not going to do you any good unless you do what it says. Can I suggest you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit and then do what he says? Little a challenge. Every time I do what the Holy Spirit says, he speaks to me again. When I fail to do what he says, he doesn't speak to me so much. I was in my house recently, bare feet. Why not? My house. And I wanted to walk through one of my doors. My door, my house. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. I thought to myself, why not? It's my house. I can do what I want. So I walked through the door. And as I did, a redback spider, my foot, bare foot, went straight through a redback spider's nest. Highly toxic, highly poisonous. The spider's sitting on my leg, and I'm thinking, I wish I'd listened to the Holy Spirit. It's like, when the Holy Spirit prompts me, I just, whoa. Why is he speaking to you? He's trying to save your life. Everybody say, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, quick to obey, and finally, slow to forget. Now, team, could you come? Slow to forget. Listen to what it says. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Can I just suggest some of you read the Bible way too fast? You just get your verse over and done with. Maybe you read a chapter a day. Well, quickly finish the chapter. No, slow down. Slow down and ask yourself, what's God going to do? Can I just suggest to you, if you want to work with the partnership of the Holy Spirit, you've got to learn to dance with him. There's an ease to it. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. I'm not talking about that dance that says, that runs to the front, says, look at me, look at my moves. That's what a lot of you think the Holy Spirit's all about. Look at my gift, look at what I can do, I can play. Who cares? I'm talking about an old school, uncool, quick step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very quickly, cross the link. I'm going to hand back to Phil. Cross the link in here in Century City. Can I just ask this question? Do you know this Jesus? Have you met him? Like Matthew, are you prepared to drop everything and follow him? Because that's what it means to be a Christian. Bible doesn't say being a Christian involves reading your Bible every day, going to church, being nice to people. It says being a Christian involves following Jesus, doing what he does. Are you prepared to do that? If you're in this auditorium, you don't know Jesus, but would like to. Or maybe you haven't followed him for a long time and you need to get back and follow him. This prayer's for you. Could everybody just close your eyes for a minute? I want you to be real and honest. If you don't know Jesus, but would like to, this prayer is for you. If you used to follow Jesus but have walked away, this prayer is for you. If you're not sure where you're at, this prayer is for you. I'm not asking whether you come to church. Of course you do. You're here. What I'm asking is, have you got a real, personal, current relationship with Jesus? If you haven't, One prayer. You're one prayer away from forgiveness. One prayer away from Jesus coming to live in your life. One prayer away from receiving his purpose. Are you ready? I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to put your hand in the air as a sign that you want me to pray. Either because you don't know Jesus or you want to come back to him. So could you do that for me? I'm going to get to three. As soon as I get to three, put your hand in the air. One, two, three. I love the fact that people have put their hands up before I even got to three. Hands are going up all over here, up in the balcony, in every section, and I'm sure in all the various venues, Somerset West, Stellenbosch, Mitchell's Plain, Southern Suburbs, Pretoria, wherever you're linking. If you want Jesus to come into your life, if you want to get back to him, join these people and put your hands in the air. Fantastic. All right, we're going to pray this prayer. Everybody, across the link, everywhere, say this prayer with me. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, I realize you are the Son of God and I need to follow you. Jesus, please do what I cannot do. Forgive me. Change me. Come into my life. From now on, you are my Lord, my King, my Savior. Everything changes from today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give these people a huge round of applause.
Thanks for joining us. If you just made a decision to follow Jesus, we just want to say a big congratulations. This is the beginning of an amazing relationship. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and send it to a friend that you know will be blessed. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday services happening across South Africa. Find out where and when on hillsong.co.za. We can't wait to meet you.